Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 259. Due to a switch in numbering, this is being recorded on November 19th of the year 2000. This program is titled Beating the Bush in Florida. This is obviously a reference to the voting irregularities in the state of Florida, and what we're going to be doing in this broadcast is to relate some seemingly disparate events and to point out that the milieu of the Bush family dynasty, as manifested in Florida and elsewhere, is at one with an international power political nexus that we have looked at in the past, and which freelance Danish journalist Henrik Kruger, the author of a book that we're going to hear excerpted at considerable length, termed the Fascist International or Internacional Fascista, something well known to veteran listeners. We're going to begin by taking a look at a major news story that emerged in this past week. This is a story that we have covered in one fashion or another for many, many years here on this broadcast, and this alludes to the assassination of President, or not the assassination of President Kennedy, the assassination of Orlando Letelier, the former Chilean ambassador to the United States. This is an article from the New York Times of Tuesday, November 14th of the year 2000, and it reads in part as follows. By the way, the article is entitled, Documents Shed Light on Assassination of Chilean in U.S. It's co-authored by Christopher Marcus, M-A-R-Q-U-I-S, and Diana Jean S-C-H-E-M-O, I'll call that Shamo. It's datelined Washington, November 13th, and it reads in part as follows. A month before the assassination of a Chilean diplomat and an American colleague in downtown Washington in 1976, the United States government ordered its envoys in Latin America to try to avert a plot to murder leftist opponents of the region's government's documents released today show. But the American ambassador in Chile, David Popper, refused to convey what Washington had learned of the plot or even the government's concerns to the leader of Chile's military junta, General Augusto Pinochet, saying he did not want to offend the general by associating him with a plot known as Operation Condor, the documents show. And skipping down, by the way, we've talked about the assassination of Orlando Letelier at considerable length. By the way, he is described here, Letelier, that is, the victim of this assassination, as a former confidant of the deposed Chilean president Salvador Allende, who was traveling to his job at a Washington Research Institute along with two colleagues. And skipping down, he may not have been Allende's ambassador to the United States. I'm operating from memory in that regard. He certainly was a Chilean diplomat and a confidant of Salvador Allende, who was deposed in a CIA-backed coup. However, of the assassination of Orlando Letelier, Operation Condor, and possible knowledge of that killing and complicity in that killing on the part of elements of U.S. intelligence. Note my use of the term elements. Bear in mind the director of Central Intelligence at that time was the elder George Bush. Skipping down. While critics of the United States policy in the region have long said that the Letelier murder could not have been carried out without General Pinochet's knowledge, the documents released today include a State Department cable showing that he called President Alfredo Stroessner of Paraguay, asking him for, quote, an urgent favor, unquote. The favor was that Paraguay issue passports to two agents of the Chilean secret police, according to the State Department document, which was marked secret and apparently written in the summer of 1976. The government of Paraguay complied, but the American embassy there barred the agents from traveling to the United States, asserting that they had lied about their plans and their reason for going to the U.S. The two later entered using Chilean passports. These two men, Michael Townley and Armando Fernandez, were convicted years later for their role in arranging the car bombing. General Pinochet returned to Chile this year after being held under house arrest in Britain at the request of a Spanish judge who wanted him tried under an international torture treaty. But the general was released after he was ruled to be too ill to stand trial. The newly declassified documents also show that General Pinochet's intelligence chief, General Contreras, tried to fend off demands for his extradition to the United States after he was indicted here for the Letelier murder with threats that he could implicate American officials in the killings. This last sentence again. The newly declassified documents also show that General Pinochet's intelligence chief, General Contreras, tried to fend off demands for his extradition to the United States after he was indicted here for the Letelier murder with threats that he could implicate American officials in the killings. Skipping down. In 1991, the documents show the CIA destroyed its file on General Contreras, who had been a paid informant for the agency. I would note that that was 1 year before George Bush left office. I want to note that the assassination of Orlando Letelier, or Letelier, and Operation Condor were two events that were performed by an international power political nexus that freelance Danish journalist Henrik Kruger termed the Fascist International, or the Internationale Fascista. What we're going to do next is to listen to an excerpt from Radio Free America program number 37, entitled How the United States Lost the Second World War. Specifically, we're going to be listening to an excerpt of the October 11th, 1992 installment of RFA 37. And the book that you're going to hear excerpted is a book entitled The Great Heroin Coup, subtitled Drugs, Intelligence, and International Fascism. That was authored by freelance Danish journalist Henrik Kruger. Has a remarkable introduction by Peter Dale Scott, the brilliant Berkeley researcher. The book was published in hard and soft cover by the South End Press of Boston, and was copyright 1980.
Continuing now with Henrik Kruger's account of the Internationale Fascista. On its rolls are former SS agents, OAS terrorists, hatchet men for Portugal's dreaded secret police, the PIDE, terrorists from Spain's Fuerza Nueva, Argentine and Italian fascists, Cuban exiles, French gangsters from SAC, and former CIA agents hardened by terror campaigns in Operation 40, Guatemala, Brazil, and Argentina. Besides Carew, Internationale Fascista's militants have at various times numbered the Army for the Liberation of Portugal, or ELP, and its Agente Presse contingent under Yves Guérin-Sarac, the Italian Ordine Nuovo, led by Salvatore Francia and Pierluigi Concutelli, Spain's Guerrillas of Christ the King, the Asociación Anticomunista Iberica and Alianza Anticomunista Apostolica, or AAA, which is not to be confused by the Argentine AAA that is also represented in Internationale Fascista, and the Paladin Group. By the way, spellings Yves Guérin-Sarac, G-U-E, accent acute, R-I-N, hyphen S-E, acute, R-A-C, Salvatore Francia, F-R-A-N-C-I-A, and Pierluigi Concutelli, an individual we looked at in connection with the P2, and Stefano Della Chiai, who we're going to touch back on. Concutelli, C-O-N-C-U-T-E-L-L-I. Now, we're going to look specifically at the Paladin Mercenary Group, one of the central elements in Skorzeny's Internationale Fascista. SS Colonel Skorzeny was the kingpin of the Paladin Mercenary Group until his death in 1975. Dr. Gerhard Hartmut von Schubert, formerly of Joseph Goebbels' propaganda ministry, was its operating manager. Headquartered in Albufera, Spain, its actual nerve centers were Skorzeny's export-import offices and cover firm MC, located at a Madrid address shared with a front for the Spanish intelligence agency SCOE under Colonel Eduardo Blanco, and also an office of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency. Last couple of sentences again of the Paladin Mercenary Group. Dr. Gerhard Hartmut von Schubert, formerly of Joseph Goebbels' propaganda ministry, was its operating manager. Headquartered in Albufera, Spain, its actual nerve centers were Skorzeny's export-import offices and cover firm MC, located at a Madrid address shared with a front for the Spanish intelligence agency SCOE under Colonel Eduardo Blanco, and also an office of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency. The cozy relationship of Spanish right-wing terrorists with U.S. and Spanish intelligence is further underlined by the SCOE's purchase in the mid-70s of Rebel's silenced M10 machine pistols, prior to which the ideal terrorist weapon had been unavailable in Europe. Shortly thereafter, the M10 turned up in the hands of Spanish and Italian terrorists. A melange of former OAS and SAC figures and West German rightist activists and mercenaries, Paladin joined terrorist actions in Europe, Africa, Latin America, and even Southeast Asia. Along with Italian fascists, Paladin is responsible for the 17th of December 1973 bombing of Rome's Fiumicino airport, which claimed 32 lives. On behalf of the Spanish government, Paladin kidnapped and murdered leaders of the Basque ETA, and in 1974 through 6, engineered some 50 bombings in Basque country. Paladin's bankrollers included Skorzeny's weapons empire and Libyan head of state, Muammar Gaddafi. The Skorzeny-controlled World Armco, with main offices in Paris, was registered in the name of Paladin manager von Schubert. Upon the death of Skorzeny in 1975, von Schubert moved to Argentina, but returned 6 months later to reorganize. And again, note the interrelationship here of U.S. intelligence, Spanish intelligence, Skorzeny's Paladin mercenary group, whose operating head is Dr. Gerhard Hartmut von Schubert of Goebbels Propaganda Ministry, the same propaganda ministry for which Werner Naumann worked, for which Eberhard Taubert and Alfred Gielen both worked. We looked at them in the Peter Dale Scott manuscripts. They were both key players in the WACCFL, the World Anti-Communist Congress for Freedom and Liberation. And note the evolution of these forces and their location in Spain in conjunction with U.S. intelligence. Continuing with Henrik Kruger's account, and of course, by the way, don't fail to note the presence of Muammar Gaddafi in this milieu. Internacional Fascista was a crucial first step toward fulfilling the dream not only of Skorzeny, but also of his close friends in Madrid exile, José López Rega, Juan Perón's Grey Eminence, and Prince Justo Valerio Borghese, the Italian fascist money man who had been rescued from execution at the hands of the World War II Italian resistance by future CIA counterintelligence whiz James J. Angleton. They and other Nazi and fascist powers throughout Europe and Latin America envisioned a new world order built on a fascist iron circle linking Buenos Aires, Santiago, Lima, La Paz, Brasilia, and Montevideo. Last few sentences again find a familiar echo here of one of George Bush's favorite phrases. Internacional Fascista was a crucial first step toward fulfilling the dream not only of Skorzeny, but also of his close friends in Madrid exile, José López Rega, Juan Perón's Grey Eminence, by the way, a member of the Argentinian branch of P2, and Prince Justo Valerio Borghese, the Italian fascist money man who had been rescued from execution at the hands of the World War II Italian resistance by future CIA counterintelligence whiz James J. Angleton. They and other Nazi and fascist powers throughout Europe and Latin America envisioned a new world order built on a fascist iron circle linking Buenos Aires, Santiago, Lima, La Paz, Brasilia, and Montevideo. Bear in mind, too, that we took a look at Justo Valerio Borghese, his 1970 coup attempt, its support by the CIA, the fascist program called the Strategy of Tension, in numerous archive shows, Radio Free America show 19, the miscellaneous archive show about Operation Gladio being two of them. And note, a new world order built on a fascist iron circle linking Buenos Aires, Santiago, Lima, La Paz, Brasilia, and Montevideo. This new world order was an institution being aided by the CIA under George Bush in 1976. Skipping down and more about the Internacional Fascista, and again, note the basing in Spain of the Paladin mercenary group. Note the presence in this group of former Goebbels propaganda ministry official Gerhard Hartmut von Schubert and Otto Skorzeny, the coordinator of the post-World War II SS Underground. He's based in Spain, and again, I think we are seeing a chilling echo here of the evolution of this Nazi party in exile, as T.H. Tettens put it in 1961. We're looking at events in the mid-1970s, as reported by Henrik Kruger in 1980. And again, note the involvement of U.S. intelligence with this milieu, and in particular of the involvement of George Bush's CIA with many of the activities we're looking at here. Skipping down in Henrik Kruger's account, what we're going to look at now, by the way, is the habit of Internacional Fascista of camouflaging its acts of terror as acts of the left. And take a look at Operation Condor. Note Operation Condor very carefully, because we're going to come back to Operation Condor and Colonia Dignidad in Chile in just a couple of minutes. What has made sleuth work difficult is Internacional Fascista's attempts to camouflage itself as an arm of the left. When General Joaquin Zintano Anaya, Bolivia's ambassador to France, was shot down in Paris in May of 1976, a caller to the police claimed the Che Guevara Brigade had murdered him to avenge the 1967 capture of Guevara in Bolivia. An eyewitness, moreover, claimed to have recognized the assailant as the infamous left-wing terrorist Carlos. However, 1 month later, The Nouvelle Observateur reported that the assassination had been planned at Madrid's Consulate Hotel by Bolivian intelligence agent Saavedra and three terrorists from the Paladin Group. Furthermore, inspection of Zenteno Anaya's politics revealed his opposition to Bolivian President Banzer and allegiance to ex-President Torres, whose murder in Argentina followed shortly after Zenteno's. Then, it was a turn of former Chilean Foreign Minister Orlando Letelier to be murdered by Chilean and Cuban terrorists in Washington, D.C., soon after which the establishment U.S. press, citing CIA and FBI sources, pointed the finger at the Chilean left. Last sentence again. Then, it was the turn of former Chilean Foreign Minister Orlando Letelier to be murdered by Chilean and Cuban terrorists in Washington, soon after which the establishment U.S. press, citing CIA and FBI sources, pointed the finger at the Chilean left. Continuing, by the way, we're going to take a look at George Bush's role in these events later on in the program. In connection with these assassinations, it's appropriate here to quote in its entirety a recent report entitled, quote, Latin America, Murder Incorporated, unquote. And again quoting, a still-classified staff report on, quote, questionable foreign intelligence operations, unquote, in the United States, prepared for the Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee on International Operations, shed some new light on cooperation and security matters between Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Paraguay, and Uruguay. According to the Senate report, which has been leaked to the press in the United States, the joint operation is known as Condor. The Senate report mentioned a Phase 3 of Operation Condor, which involved the formation of special teams to carry out, quote, sanctions, unquote, including the assassinations of the enemies of its constituent governments. The best-known killing of this type was the bomb attack on Orlando Letelier in September of 1976 in Washington. Condor's role in this emerged during the testimony of the FBI agent Bob Shearer, S-C-H-E-R-E-R, who investigated the case and gave evidence of the trial of Michael Townley. He testified to the use of Condor as the channel by which the Chilean DINA chief, General Manuel Contreras, tried to get U.S. visas for two of the agents involved. Quote, an impressive list of murders may now be laid at the door of Operation Condor. These include the killings of General Carlos Prats of Chile and Juan José Torres of Bolivia in Argentina, the Uruguayan politicians Hector Gutierrez Ruiz and Zelmar Michelini, also in Argentina, Bolivia's General Joaquín Zenteno Anaya, and Uruguay's Colonel Ramón Trabal in Paris, and the attempted assassination of the Chilean Senator Bernardo Leighton. Quote, the Senate report also disclosed that Condor had considered establishing its own operational base in Miami in 1974, but that this was headed off by a CIA protest, quote, through regular intelligence channels, unquote. In this case, the CIA informed the Chilean DINA of United States displeasure, and no Miami station was opened. According to the Senate report, the CIA concluded early in its investigation of the Letelier assassination that the murder might have been carried out as a third phase of Operation Condor. Last sentence again. According to the Senate report, the FBI concluded early in its investigation of the Letelier assassination that the murder might have been carried out as a third phase of Operation Condor, unquote. And again, quoting, presumably, quote, third phase, unquote, will now go into the lexicon of euphemisms alongside the CIA's to terminate with extreme prejudice, unquote. The fact that the operation was well known to the United States at least 5 years ago makes nonsense of its shocked surprise at the time of Letelier's death. Now note again that the activities here, the Kourou program of terror, the functioning of the Internationale Fascista, the World Service, Agente Press, Paladin Mercenary Group, the strategy of tension, much of it, in Italy. Many of these activities were conducted in conjunction with elements of U.S. intelligence while George Bush was head of the CIA.
That again, an excerpt from the October 11th, 1992 installment of RFA 37, How the United States Lost the Second World War, and the excerpt that you heard read was from The Great Heroin Coup, authored by freelance Danish journalist Henrik Kruger, published in hard and soft cover by the South End Press of Boston, copyright 1980. By the way, in connection with Operation Condor and Colonia Dignitat, we should note that elements of that operation were conducted in conjunction with the Odessa, the post-World War II SS underground. And again, note that some of its most heinous activities were conducted in with at least the connivance and the apparent cooperation of some elements of U.S. intelligence, even while other elements were opposing this. And that was done when George Bush was director of the CIA. Indeed, he was director of Central Intelligence when Letelier was killed in Washington, D.C. Now, one of the names that you heard alluded to was the name Coru, that's C-O-R-U. That is one of the most militant of the anti-Castro Cuban groups, and it was headed up by Orlando Bosch, B-O-S-C-H, a name you're going to hear in the second side of this particular broadcast for the record program number 259. One of the crimes that Orlando Bosch was charged with, and also one of the crimes that one of his subordinates was implicated in, although he's never been convicted of the crime, was the bombing of a Cuban airliner in 1976 that killed 73 people. This crime has recently come back into the news because Fidel Castro of Cuba has alleged, rightly or wrongly, that one of the alleged perpetrators of that 1976 bombing, an anti-Castro Cuban named Luis Posada Carriles, was planning to kill him in Panama. This focuses attention once again on this same milieu, and we're going to take a look at this milieu and its operations in Florida a little later in the broadcast. We're going to read now from the San Jose Mercury News of today, today being, for the record, Sunday, November 19th of the year 2000. This is an AP story by John Rice. It's datelined Panama City, Panama, and headlined, "Former CIA Agent Accused of Castro Plot Detained." The article reads in part as follows. As Latin American and European leaders met to discuss their problems, Panamanian police Saturday were trying to decide what to do with a shadowy former CIA agent accused of trying to kill Fidel Castro. Luis Posada Carriles was detained Friday evening a few hours after the Cuban leader accused him of plotting an assassination during the two-day Ibero-American summit, which was to conclude Saturday. Police Chief Carlos Bares said police had 24 hours to charge or release Posada, who escaped from a Venezuelan prison in 1985 while awaiting retrial on charges of masterminding the bombing of a Cuban airliner in 1976 that killed 73 people. And again, Orlando Bosch and Carru were the executive authority in that particular crime. And one of the alleged participants was Posada Carriles. Skipping down. After working at least briefly for the CIA, Posada went to Venezuela, where he rose to become director of operations for the country's intelligence agency, which was monitoring leftist rebels. He lost the job after a change in the presidency in 1974. Prosecutors accused him of masterminding the October 1976 bombing of a Cubana de Aviación airliner. He was acquitted twice, but officials were making a third try to convict him when he escaped from prison in 1985. Venezuelan officials say he still faces charges there. After Posada's escape, he allegedly helped send guns to the U.S.-backed Contra rebels in Nicaragua. Honduran officials also have identified him as the associate of an alleged arms dealer in that country. The Miami Herald reported in 1998 that he had been living off and on in El Salvador and had close ties with current or retired military figures in the region. Salvadorian officials said in 1998 they were unable to locate him. In a 1998 interview with the New York Times, Posada was quoted as admitting involvement in the bombing of hotels in Cuba in 1997. A Salvadorian man who planted one of the bombs, Raul Ernesto Cruz León, was sentenced to death for killing an Italian tourist. The Herald reported that Posada had been involved in several other attempts to disrupt Cuba's socialist economy or kill Castro at other international summits. So again, whatever the veracity of the charges by Fidel Castro, it's worth noting that Posada Carriles is alive, well, and apparently, at least to a certain extent, still active. And I bring this article up because the milieu of Posada Carriles, the milieu of Operation Condor and the assassination of Orlando Letelier, the milieu of Carru is the milieu of the Internacional Fascista, and it is the milieu of the Bush family. It is the milieu of the George's Bush and Jeb Bush, and it should not come as a great surprise to see some irregularities obtaining in the Florida presidential vote in the year 2000. We're going to take a look at Florida and the presidential election vote in 2000 and some of the irregularities there. We're also going to revisit the October 11th, 1992 installment of RFA 37. However, we're going to do that inside two of this particular broadcast. I've made allusions to other programs and excerpted RFA 37. All of the various tapes that I've produced over the years are available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. That's one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E. They're located at P.O. Box 1179. That's P.O. Box 1179. That's in Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. The email address for Spitfire is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. You can also visit the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. That's one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E-L-I-S-T.com. The Spitfire website, by the way, is equipped with real audio, and there are descriptions of the various tapes available on the Spitfire website, including mini article-length descriptions of the various For the Record programs. Those are footnoted or sourced, beginning with For the Record program number 233. That concludes Side A of For the Record program number 259, entitled Beating the Bush in Florida. This is being recorded on November 19th of the year 2000. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.